John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome back in. Darren Donican, Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game. We are streaming on The Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Willie Donick hanging out. Darren with the day off. And we go back to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and say hello to our friend, our buddy, our pal, Big Joe Dubin, Main Street Media. JoJo, I miss you. It still smells like you. Wish you were here, but you're not.
Oh, thank you, buddy. It smells like that rich English leather that I wear all the time, and a little spray of Dracar with a little splash of the Axe body spray. So thank you.
Wow, that's quite the mix right there.
Yeah, it works.
At least it's not Sex Panther. So
you can catch me in the Gulch on Friday and Saturday nights talking to the ladies with that. So it's an icebreaker.
Do they run away?
No, actually, don't. They just called 911. Cool.
There you go. So round two of the high school football playoff tonight, and you know we spent a lot of time on this yesterday, of you know just that it could all end. You're not, nothing is given. You're just, you enjoy every moment. But I love some of these matchups tonight, and we spent a lot of time on 6A. But obviously, all eyes are going to be on Oakland, Shelbyville, and then Riverdale, Lebanon. As Oakland and Riverdale could be on a collision course to meet once again. But yeah, let's start with Riverdale, Lebanon. That's not going to be an easy game.
That's going to be a fantastic game. And you brought up a good point. Our good friend, the former head coach at Siegel, Greg Wyatt, who's now the athletic director, always told us, would preach to us, like, look, you're guaranteed 40 quarters, right, during the regular season. You've got 10 games. You got 4 quarters. That's all you're guaranteed. Anything after that's a blessing. And it's a privilege, and it's not a right. So the teams that understand that when you go into the playoffs usually do pretty well. And that's a huge game tonight because Lebanon is making this deep run in the playoffs they haven't done in quite some time. But Riverdale, as we heard Kevin Creasy, the Oakland coach, says he thinks Riverdale has the best linebackers he's ever seen in high school, and they can make a difference. But Lebanon is running on this adrenaline. The coach, Chuck Gentry, is there. He's really built a strong program. Lebanon has a lot of confidence, going to this game tonight. It's at Lebanon. I cannot remember the last time they hosted a second-round playoff game, and it's going to be a great atmosphere tonight. So that's going to be a huge game, and you're right. If you win that game, more than likely you'll take on Oakland, who plays Shelbyville tonight. But, you know, Creasy told us yesterday that Shelbyville is extremely athletic, and they're going to have their hands full. So I don't know who wins this game tonight, but Riverdale-Lebanon, I just know it's going to be a pretty darn good game.
Joe, I know you've got a soft spot for those metro schools, as I do too. I'm on the Pearl Cone bandwagon right now. I know they're playing an undefeated team here tonight, but I feel good about the Firebirds. Tell us what's going on in that matchup.
Well, I learned this morning that their star player, Berrien Brown, is suspended for this game for two unsportsmanlike conducts that happened last week in a game, so that they don't have him tonight. And that guy at Pearl Cone, Berrien Brown, is an absolute game changer. So he's out. They're on the road tonight, and that's a tough environment. I don't know really what to say about that game, just for the simple fact of you're losing your best player. He missed a few games earlier in the year with, I think, he had an injury or two, and they adapted with him. But then you start rolling with him, and he's outstanding. But he's out tonight. So I don't know what's going to happen with him. But I got to tell you, with a game close to you, which if I had to pick any game tonight to go to besides my son's game, it would be Waverly at East Nashville.
Ooh.
Simply because we know the Waverly story.
Yes.
Those kids, God bless them, what they're going through. But, you know, I love East Nashville. I love a metro school. I love that school. It would be a great matchup tonight between those two schools at East Nashville. And somebody talked to me earlier and said, you know what, that's a perfect evening. You go over to Five Points, you get a nice dinner, just walk down the street and go to the game, and you're entertained with a really good game tonight. So that's good. I don't pick games, because I don't like to pick games like that, but it's going to be a good game when these two teams get together, because Waverly has had an outstanding season despite the flood and losing everything else, and East Nashville's always got a good football team. So that'll be a good game tonight.
It's so impressive, Joe, that Waverly at 9-1 with everything they've gone through this year. I mean, that is really, really cool to see.
I mean, half the players lost their houses and the equipment's all gone and the stadium's gone. I mean, it was total destruction down there. So when the Titans, you know, stood up and other schools around Middle Tennessee gave them equipment and helped them out either financially or given helmets and footballs and shoulder pads, whatever, that was fantastic. But think about these kids, man. There's enough going on if you're a kid these days. Now a flood comes in and takes off everything. The fact that they're 9-1 and not 1-9 is amazing. So it'll be a good game tonight when they take on East Nashville.
Have they been able to salvage the practice, like the day in and day out? Where do they practice? How do they prepare for their games to go 9-1?
I think their practice field is still there, but it's not in great shape. So, you know, Dickson County last week opened their Waverly played their first-round playoff game at Dickson. And the Dickson County folks were fantastic. They, you know, put a big W right there in the middle of the field, which made them feel at home. But there's not a lot there what they've had. They lost everything. And so they're having to go on the road and do this. So going on the road tonight and taking East Nashville, that's just another Friday night for Waverly with all they've been through this season.
A team in 5A that I don't think we've given enough credit to, so I'm going to do it right now. Page High School, the Page Patriots at 10-1. They're hosting Nolensville. And Nolensville, still a fairly new program, I guess about 5-6 years old at this point, going on the road. Going to be a tough matchup, but Page has had a nice season.
They've had a great season. You know, there might be 100 points scored this game tonight. And as we found out, you know, the quarterback at Page, McNamara, his older brother is a starting quarterback at Michigan. And I didn't know that until I read Main Street Press a few weeks ago, and I saw that in there. So, I mean, they've got two good quarterbacks, two good programs. Coach Derek at Nolensville has, you know, solidly built a great program there. And these two schools are just down the street from each other. There's going to be a huge crowd at this game tonight with two really good quarterbacks. And you're right, we don't talk about Page quite a bit. You know, sometimes I forget that they're in Williamson County because we give so much talk to Brentwood and Ravenwood and Summit, and rightfully so. But you look at the job that Coach Rappo's done at Page, is fantastic. So this game might be 55-50, either team, but it's going to be fun.
You know, along those lines, we've seen, and you've talked about it quite a bit, but we have seen high school football grow so much in this area to the point of schools are forming because there's so many people moving here. So they're building new schools in all these counties. But you look at Rutherford County, you look at Williamson County, and some of these schools like Page that they've been around a while that, you know, it's sometimes they kind of get forgotten about because you have these new schools that are popping up. How important is it if you're a county athletic director to, you know, try and spread the wealth of you don't want – one school that, you know, may get overshadowed by the shiny new school that comes along?
Well, that's a good point because you look at what Green Hill is doing in Wilson County.
Right.
They're in the second round of the playoffs tonight. Mount Juliet's not in the second round, but here's Green Hill school. You know, and people love the shiny new objects, and I get all that. You know, Rockville has had a great season. Green Hill's had a fantastic season. But when I look down on the schedule, Chase, I see a game tonight, Gallatin at Hendersonville.
Yeah.
I mean, my cousin played at Gallatin. I played at Henderson, against Hendersonville growing up. I mean, that is an iconic Middle Tennessee high school football game in the playoffs tonight. And I look at that, I'm thinking, my goodness, what a matchup in the second round. And I know we like the shiny new objects and everything, but you still got to go old school, some of these schools that's going on tonight. I know Green Hill takes on Columbia. That's at Green Hill. That'll be a good game. And then you got Clarksville traveling over to Beach, schools that have been around for a while. That's also a huge game. So the new schools are doing quite well. But these old schools, you talk, and I've said this before, when a school like Gallatin and Beach and Clarksville, and those schools are good, it's good for high school football. And it's great to see all these teams in the second round of the playoffs tonight going forward because these are huge, huge games, obviously being in the playoffs.
Joe Dubin is with us. And Joe, you've reminded me of something I think about every year. My favorite round of the playoffs is the second round. I love the championship games. We'll get there, and those are going to be really exciting. But the second round, you've got two teams always that they've had to be good enough to win a playoff game, so they're usually pretty good. And usually you start getting those Gallatin-Hendersonville matchups right, where you get a rivalry. And there's a lot of games around town. You know, you've now weeded out some of the teams that maybe have struggled. You've got good teams left, but there's still a lot of games. I love the second round.
That, you know, that is a great point, because we all can pick the first round winners. That's easy. We can all pick those because you know what's going to happen. You got the fourth seeded team taking on the first seeded team in the other region. Those are good. But you're right, man. You look at the schedule tonight. Waverly East Nashville, Riverdale Lebanon, Shelbyville Oakland, Nolensville Page, Gallatin Hendersonville, Brentwood at Summit, Friendship Christian at DCA. These are all huge games in the second round. And, you know, I don't know who to pick in these games, and I'm not going to pick them because I know all these coaches and I don't want them getting mad at me. But still, these games are so crucial. And you're right. Winning a playoff game in November is like you talk about in the NFL. When you go on the road and win a game, winning's not easy. Well, winning in the playoffs is not easy as well. So you get all these teams tonight, and then, you know, you got some looking forward, you know, maybe peeking ahead to the third round, which is a big mistake, the quarterfinals. You just take care of business tonight. That's why the second round is so much fun. That's why I love this Gallatin-Hendersonville matchup that they have tonight. It's just really good for high school football.
Couple of more matchups that I want to hit. Let's go to Division II. Your DCA Wildcats, your son, of course, plays for them, hosting Friendship Christian. It's been a nice season for DCA. Friendship, though, always a tough out. So what are you expecting with that one?
I hate it because DCA beat Friendship pretty easily in the regular season, and now you come back, and that's your revenge. I mean, if I'm Friendship Christian, I'm thinking, you know what? They're pretty good whooping on us in the regular season. Friendship is really, really playing good football right now. I am absolutely scared to death, and I'm not playing it down tonight. I just think that's going to be a really good football game because that's the second round like we're talking about. You got to come back now with a team that you beat in the regular season, and the last thing you do is want your players looking at that last game and saying, you know what, we beat them pretty well. Let's, you know, let's just do what we have to do. Meanwhile, Friendship's thinking, you beat us pretty well. It's not going to happen again. That's why it's going to be an outstanding matchup tonight. Anytime teams like that face each other in the playoffs again, you know what to expect. You know, you look ahead. I hate looking ahead, but we will right now. Next week, if Oakland wins or Riverdale wins, well, there's another collision course next week that's going on right there. But as far as DC and Friendship tonight, that game really scares me because I think Friendship's got a lot to prove.
And then there's a game over on my side of town, real close to me. 2-9-2 teams, Jackson Christian coming to take on Nashville Christian. Jeff Brothers, I mean, continues. Just the programs that he's built back to JP2 and then Nashville Christian and what he's done there, I mean, continues to be tremendous.
Most underrated high school football coach in the last 30 years in Nashville and Middle Tennessee. All he does is win. Kids love him. He's great to all of us in the media, which we really, really like. He's just a good dude. He's a good coach. He cares about his program, cares about his players. He wins ball games. He graduates players. He does everything that you want to. I mean, I love DCA and my boy playing for Paul Wade, but if he could play for another coach, it would be Jeff Brothers, just because I know what kind of man Jeff Brothers is and the programs he's turned out. So, you know, DCA and Nashville Christian might be on a collision course in Chattanooga in a few weeks, but we'll have to wait and see.
All right, Main Street Preps, that is the source to get everything high school football. What are some other matchups that we haven't mentioned that you think people should pay attention to?
You know what? All of them. And I've got all the games written down here. And that's, people ask me, I had people this week say, well, what game, if we want to go to a game tonight? I don't know. Just go to a game. If I had mine, I'd go to Waverly East Nashville because I'm always going to support the Metro programs first and foremost. But that Columbia at Green Hill game, there's something about that that's going on. There's something special that Josh Crouch has at Green Hill High School. I love Columbia. They've got a really good football team. They're going to bring a lot of people tonight. And it's a beautiful facility at Green Hill up on the hill. That's the other one I'd go to tonight. But, you know, again, I tell people all the time, if you don't have any loyalty or kids playing a program, you like high school football, just go. Just go to the game. The people would love to see you there. The teams would love to see you there. Just go to a game tonight.
No doubt about it. Joe, appreciate the time. As always, Main Street Preps, check it out, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, brothers. Appreciate you guys.
There you go. Big Joe Dubin of Main Street Media, at Big Joe on the Go on Twitter. Always appreciate talking some high school football with him, and there are going to be some great matchups throughout the area tonight. And you can check me out. I'll be on Football Frenzy Live on Fox 17 with Jill Jelnick about 9:50-ish, talking about some of these games tonight. So be sure to check that out. All right, Adam Vingan is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll get into more Preds with him, but we'll come back and hit on a few other things. Willie, you're going to tell us about QC Kinetics.
Yes, I will. If you're tired of living with chronic pain, if you're out there and you've had some hip pain or some joint pain, there are some treatments that are available to you that maybe you hadn't considered before. So listen carefully. New treatments, not talking surgery, not talking steroids. These are regenerative treatments from the medical professionals at QC Kinetics. It's the leader in these exciting biologic therapies that help restore and repair the damaged tissue in your joints with lasting results. So if you got pain in your knees, shoulders, hip, or back, joint pain that won't go away, check out these new treatments from QC Kinetics. Great patient satisfaction reports. They can actually help your body restore and repair itself. No downtime, no drugs, no surgery. Call now. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics. Here's the phone number, 615-249-4024. That's 615-249-4024. So forget about the steroids. Put aside the surgery consideration. Take a look at this and call that number. QC Kinetics, 615-249-4024. The biologic therapies are there waiting for you.
Tune into the NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The Game of the Week this Sunday on 102.5 The Game is the Minnesota Vikings taking on the Los Angeles Chargers. 3:05 will be the kickoff, so tune in to that. Welcome back in to Darren Donick and Chase. Chase McCabe and Willie Donick hanging out with you on a Friday. We're going to talk to Adam Vingan here in just a few minutes and talk a little Preds with him. You just made the list coming up at noon. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel in the second, in the third hour, and then Pick Six, of course, at 1 o'clock every Friday. The Titans' defensive line. We spent some time on that this week, Willie, talking about the pass rush. And I will hear your voice in my head of when you have an effective pass rush, you know, good things happen. We've also talked about the depleted secondary and that it's a revolving door. They cut Breon Borders. He's now on the practice squad. Christian Fulton has been designated to return, but he's not off IR yet. You have Elijah Molden, the rookie that, you know, he's had up and down moments, but it's ever changing with that secondary. But I look at it, if you have an effective defensive line and an effective pass rush, that's going to help the secondary. And I think that that's what you've seen so far.
Well, first of all, when you mentioned Breon Borders and guys like him, I'm convinced that there's some secret, invisible practice facility that some of these guys go to in Nashville the last couple of years when they get cut. And they keep training and keep working out, and like there's a secret. They don't work for the Titans.
We can rebuild him.
But they're, you know, they can still wear the colors, and like you're working on the same stuff, but you're just not allowed to be there because they can only carry a certain amount of people on the practice squad. But it's like, I don't think Breon went home. Like, it's like, Breon, gotta hang around because you might get a phone call just the way guys get hurt.
Well, he gets cut.
And people want the players back that they know.
Right.
Rather than just go grab somebody from way off in Arizona.
And I think Vrabel and John Robinson are very big on that. Trying to bring in guys that, like Deontay Foreman's a prime example. He hadn't been here all year, but he's been here before.
He's been at the secret practice facility.
Right.
I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's in like Una.
Yeah. I wonder if, you know, we always hear.
Is it like where the Una Bears play? Like, is that where they practice?
Which would be right down the street here. But
maybe it's like south of Shelbyville or something. Like,
I don't know if it's that far out. I mean,
maybe it's a little closer, more convenient.
But see, I think the player leaves John Robinson's office after getting cut. And, you know, we always hear Vrabel talk about Stretch, you know, John Stretcher. Stretch is standing there, go, come with me.
Yeah, I'm going to show you where to go. It's the secret. Here's the key to the secret invisible practice facility. You're going to keep
training. The secret Titan van that's going to take you to the practice.
You know Mekhi Sargent's over there right now, too.
No, Mekhi Sargent's with L.A., I think.
Oh, that's right. He signed. Well, okay, but he'll be back, though. Now that game's over, he'll be back.
They gave him a key.
Yeah, he's still got the key.
He's with the Rams.
So the Rams have not yet cut him after they signed him the week of the oldest trick in the book, sign the guy from the team you're playing. How do the Rams have any room on their roster for anybody except all these veterans that they're signing? I don't know how that's working. But back to the front four.
Yeah.
Okay?
Because this is your favorite.
This is my favorite. When you can rush the passer, you can put ordinary people back there in the secondary, and they become way better. It makes everybody better. Let's repeat the stats that we had earlier in the week. Next-gen stats. number one in quarterback pressures over the last 4 weeks. By far, Jeffrey Simmons, 27.
Mm-hmm.
4 weeks, 27. He's an interior defensive lineman. That's an Aaron Donald kind of thing. The interior guys don't generally lead in that category. It's usually the outside edge guys. He's leading the NFL over the last 4 weeks. Second is Denico Autry, 20. He's sort of a hybrid, right? You'll see him on the outside sometimes, well, but he's generally interior.
There's an article on The Athletic right now that you should check out that's kind of a deep dive into those numbers, and it's a variety of different things, but they talk about the Titans' defensive line, and it says Denico Autry can play anywhere on the line. He's looked awesome the last few weeks. Since week five, he's had 9 quarterback hits and 3.5 sacks. Denico Autry, when they signed him, everybody was on Bud Dupree, and I love the Bud Dupree signing, but I remember bringing up and us talking about it. Hey, Denico Autry is going to be a sneaky good signing for this team.
And it was sneaky even after the season started because he didn't start off like a house on fire. He's steadily gotten better. And that's the next hope, is that you hope that Bud Dupree still has his best football ahead of him. So let's hope for that. And we know how great a season Harold Landry is having. So that front four, and maybe that should be a side note of my adage. When you can rush the passer, it makes everybody better. But the next level is when you can rush the passer with four.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing right now. The chemistry between the four of them is outstanding. Now let's flip it to the other side.
It's funny. Teron Davenport's on ESPN talking about
the same thing.
A lot of this right now. Yeah.
We just got a cameo of Breon Borders.
Yeah, he right was there. Just there.
New Orleans on defense. Football Outsiders, number one in the rush DVOA. Which is value over average. VOA is value over average.
Yeah.
The D means it's adjusted to who you're playing against in the context of the game. So number three in that category is Buffalo. The Titans ran all over Buffalo, as we know, because of the superhuman guy they had at the time. So can the Titans run the ball at all against New Orleans defense? This will be a tremendous challenge
here. This will be the
test. Yes.
Because Derrick Henry actually still leads the league in rushing right now.
Yep, he banked a lot of yards. So New Orleans against the pass, a little more pedestrian at 13th, but still very good. Can they get just enough to keep them honest with the three-headed attack that they're going with?
Oh, I believe.
That'll be an important part of this game because the Titans aren't going to want to air it out and throw it all over the place, especially the way their defense is playing and based on what you think you're going to get from the Saints offense,
yeah,
which is limited.
Sure. I mean, the defense, once again, I think is going to be the focal point for them to win this game. But I do think that Tannehill is going to have to make some throws. Now, the other thing I'm curious about is even though we've talked about Jeremy McNichols staying in his role as a pass catching running back, we know that Adrian Peterson can do that too. They tried it a little bit last week, but I don't think they wanted to throw that much at him because he just, you know, had just gotten here on Wednesday. But I'm curious of how they bring that into the fold because we know that Adrian Peterson can certainly do that. And so that'll be interesting to see. But we'll get back into the Titans here in just a little bit. We'll shift gears. We'll talk to Adam Vingan of The Athletic. Talk some Titans with him. It's Darren Donick and Chase presented by Curation CBD. But first, Willie, tell us about Lee Company.
And you did slip up and say we will talk Titans with Adam. I'm sure Adam's very capable of talking Titans, but we are going to switch
to
the Predators.
He'll want to talk Saints because he's also a Saints fan.
That's true.
Well,
we're going
to
talk
Preds. That's a good point. So he may be willing to talk a little
Titans.
We'll
talk hockey.
Versus Saints, yes. But we are at some point going to get to some hockey as well. His article, by the way, on Tanner Jeannot on The Athletic, a tremendous backstory. Tanner Jeannot, the more you find out about him, the more interesting he gets. You may have heard Terry Crisp talking to one of his former players on that 89 championship team in Calgary, Timmy Hunter. He was raving about Tanner Jeannot, and he's a part of that article that we're going to talk to Adam about. That's coming up next. Let me tell you also about Lee Company, speaking of the Predators. They're a big sponsor of our coverage of the Nashville Predators. Back in action. Hey, we actually get to play a home game on Saturday night. You get to come down there. You'll see the Lee Company display there. Lee Company's got all their great things. Here it is on a Friday. This is something to keep in mind for Lee Company. If you've got a maintenance problem, maybe it's something at home, and you're like, man, I've been meaning to get that fixed. I don't want to do it. Or something at work where you want to leave work, you want to get out of there, but this is sort of something that's got to get done. Think about Lee Company. keep this phone number handy at all times for when that kind of situation comes up. General maintenance, home or at work. I almost said home or on the road. We've been on the road a lot. 615-567-1000. That's 615-567-1000. Or go to leadcompany.com. You can make an online appointment, and they'll come out and fix the problem for you in a wide range of what that could be. 615-567-1000 or leadcompany.com. Lead Company, proud sponsor, Nashville Predators. Okay, we have the appropriate background music for Adam Vingan as he comes in. Because when Adam walks into a room, this is what you feel. This is the vibe that you feel.
Oh, yeah. Because he's Adam Vingan, baby.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic is with us, who is also a resident. He represents a lot of different teams, right? He's got the D.C. background a little bit, but he's a Saints guy. He's a Duke guy. So with the Saints come to town.
So he's a front runner. That's what it sounds
like. Well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. He's just, he's an eclectic kind of mix of things. But he's also an Eastsider, so you know, we've got that going. He's legit with that. So, Adam, with the Saints coming to town here, we were just talking about the matchup. Just before we segue into hockey, tell us your thoughts on this game between the Saints and the Titans on Sunday.
It's the Trevor Siemian revenge game.
Yes, it is.
And as Elijah was saying to me, our other fellow resident Saints fan, that any game could be a Trevor Siemian revenge game because he's been passed around the league quite a bit over the past several years. But it'll be interesting because the Saints defense is pretty good. They did not have a great showing at the end of the game last week against the Falcons when they came back from 18 down to take the lead in the fourth quarter. But then on the ensuing drive, the first play was like a 60-yard pass from Matt Ryan that set up the game-winning field goal. So we'll see how it goes. I don't have as high hopes as I did the last time the Saints were here a couple of years ago, but it should be entertaining. I'm planning to be there. My father is planning to be there. So it'll be a nice outing on Sunday afternoon.
Did Arlo get you tickets?
Arlo did not get me tickets, but Arlo is still riding the high of his first Duke win of his lifetime.
Well, I'm proud of him. I'm happy for him.
Yes, he and I have been rubbing it in Michelle's face for the past couple of years.
So, Adam, I was listening to Terry Crisp this morning on our morning show with Joe and Robbie, and Terry Crisp was talking to one of his former players from the Stanley Cup championship team of 1989, Tim Hunter. And when Terry went back to Calgary, when the team was up there and they had the Terry Crisp sort of guest of honor night to honor his retirement, which will happen at the end of the season from the broadcasting world, he had a lot of his former players there, and Tim Hunter could not wait to tell him about Tanner Jeannot. And in reading your article that you did for The Athletic, I got that same sense of enthusiasm from Tim Hunter, who coached Tanner Jeannot way back when he was a teenager at Moose Jaw. It's a great story.
Yeah, I really had a lot of fun putting that story together. And I had been meaning to write a story about Tanner for a while, sort of the origin story of Tanner Jeannot. And the first thing that I came across is the fact that Tanner Jeannot has two strength and conditioning awards named after him by two different teams. The Moose Jaw Warriors, his WHL team for 4 years, and even if you go back further, when he was just became a teenager, the Yorktown Maulers, a lower-level junior team in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, have a fitness award named after him. So I talked to people that know Tanner just about his commitment to physical fitness, and the stories I heard, you know, were really fun. I spoke to the head trainer in Moose Jaw, who's been there now for close to 10 years, and he shared with me Tanner's fitness testing and training camp, and the numbers just pop off the page. You know, 200 sit-ups in his first year as a 17-year-old, 65 push-ups, 12 pull-ups. I don't think I could even do one pull-up, even if I'm, like, jumping and getting a head start that way. So, I think we've all learned to really appreciate the kind of game that Tanner Jeannot brings, but basically, you know, the point of the story was that, you know, when Tanner was younger, one of his first coaches was Jeff Odgers, who played more than 800 games in the NHL from the early 90s until the early aughts. And, you know, and Jeff told Tanner that, you know, when I was playing, I wanted to make sure that I was the most in shape guy at every training camp I went to, because no matter what happens, you will stand out because you will be the best, you know, the most physically fit player in camp. And that's sort of been Tanner's MO, you know, throughout his junior career, his early professional career, and now with the Predators. We see the hits, we see the tenacity, and, you know, he's built like a brick house. And there have been several players who have ended up on the receiving end of that, whether it's Jamie Oleksiak or Drew Doughty. It's happened to some big players. So I had a lot of fun, learning more about Tanner.
But this is the underlying theme that I pick up on, too. And as much as these guys loved him, Tim Hunter, he cut Tanner Jeannot. Tanner Jeannot goes on after they bring him back to the Moose Jaw team, and he plays junior. It's time to get drafted. He doesn't get drafted. So this guy has had to go the long way for everything he's gotten in the league. He keeps improving. That's what I really admire about his game, and I'm wondering what's next. So as you point out in the article, Adam, he's gone from being that fourth-line crash-and-bang guy who can chip in a goal. Now he's getting a chance to play even higher in the lineup with more skilled players. He has a great game in Dallas the other night. He's never really been on the power play, and I wonder how that will evolve in the coming weeks and months.
You mentioned the fact that despite being the top performer or one of the top performers in his first training camp in Moose Jaw as a training camp invite, he was cut. And Tim Hunter told me that a couple of days later he was watching the inter-squad game that the Warriors do to evaluate prospects and realized a couple of days later that he had made a huge mistake and called Tanner's parents and basically begged them to bring him back and told them, we're going to sign him to a contract, we're going to put him in a billet, he's going to be here with us all year and hopefully 4 years, and he was. And, the sky seems to be the limit. Trust me, there are a lot of cold takes you can find on Twitter by searching Tanner Jeannot expansion draft right now.
Big time.
You know, and I will appreciate, and look, Jared Stillman is not one to admit that he's wrong. He will tie himself in knots to find a way not to admit that he's wrong. But even he yesterday said he's probably going to take an L on his, oh my God, they protected Tanner Jeannot over Kelly Yarncrow take. And that's saying a lot, that Jared Stillman, of all people, is possibly entertaining the idea of admitting he was wrong. So that's growth. That's personal growth for Jared.
Good for Jared.
That's big. He's come a long way. Adam Vingan is with us from The Athletic. Let's talk a little bit about the rest of this team. So the back-to-backs, they beat Dallas 4-2. They beat St. Louis 4-3 in overtime last night and come back to Bridgestone Arena to take on Arizona. Matt Duchene has been part of the story, though, as he's now surpassed his goal total from all of last year in 34 games, I believe it was. But he's got 8. He had 6 all of last year. Distributing the puck, shooting the puck, doing all the things that you want him to do. Do you feel like that this is him truly? He has turned the corner. It's more than just a hot streak, that this can actually be sustainable with Matt Duchene?
That's a good question. And as Willie knows, I like to dig deep into the numbers to figure that out. And when you look at Matt's game so far, I mean, he's getting to the slot, you know, more than most players in the NHL. I think when I looked at it this morning, I think there might only be 3 or 4 players in the NHL who have more slot shots on net this season than Matt Duchene. And I don't have his shooting percentage in front of me, but I don't think it's ridiculous. You know, sometimes you see guys get off to a hot start and they're shooting like 40%, and you know that that's going to regress. I don't think Matt is shooting the lights out necessarily based on shooting percentage. I think it's about average for his career. I really do think you've seen, you know, a maturation as much as a 31-year-old player can mature in Matt Duchene. And I think John Hines said it best before the team left on the trip, that Matt did not have enough substance in his game last season, and now he does. And, you know, to me, you know, I remember having a conversation with Mike Johnson, who's an NHL Network analyst, like a year and a half ago for a story I was working on, and he made an interesting point. He talked about how there are maybe 15 to 20 players in the NHL top who are slump-proof. You know, someone like Connor McDavid, for example, who very rarely goes more than a couple games without a point, if any games without a point. you know, Matthew Shane is not in that category. So I've been wildly impressed from what I've seen from Matthew Shane. To me, before I can finally say he has turned the corner, I do want to see what happens when the points and the pucks stop flowing, you know, the goals stop flowing. I want to see what else he does, because I think that was the major or primary issue, I should say, with Matt last year, was that he was doing a lot of the things to create goals and scoring chances and wasn't converting on them. But he wasn't really doing much else to impact a game in terms of away from the puck and doing the little things that when a player, like think about Mikhail Granlund, for example, who's off to an incredibly hot start too. When Mikhail isn't producing, he's making impacts in other areas, specifically on the defensive end. Like, I want to see what happens when the goals stop going in. Is Matt making an impact in other areas? You know, the pass he had to Luke Cunningham, for example, that was an amazing pass last night. Does he continue to do that? Does he win puck battles? Does he engage in puck battles? Does he, you know, does he play solid defensive hockey? I want to see that. So I think his start is obviously fantastic, but I'm still waiting to see what happens when it stops being, you know, when this hot streak comes to an end, whether or not he continues to impact the game in other areas.
43 shots on goal and a shooting percentage of 18.6%, which is definitely higher than.
So a little high.
A little high. But he's hot, right? When it's hot, But he was been.
But it's not ridiculous.
He was always the one that was pointing out it was way lower. And he was like, I've had bad luck. And people were like, well, he's just making excuses. But I do think there was some truth to that, right? And now the puck is starting to go in.
He has confidence.
When he's shooting, you can tell, you know, he's shooting to score. And he's also making some great plays. Like you just talked about the pass to Luke Cunningham. That was a big, big play. He's a lot of confidence when he has the puck on his stick right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, is Matt Duchene an $8 million player? Probably not. But if he plays like this, that contract is a lot easier to swallow than it was last year and for most of the year before that. So, you know, look, Matt deserves a ton of credit. You know, he seems, you know, the one thing that I personally, you know, was, you know, I wouldn't say worried about, but the one thing that was on my mind last year was, is Matt Duchene fully bought into John Hines' vision for the Predators? I felt like of all of the top players on the team, just based on what I was watching, he seemed to be the slowest to come around. I feel like now he's on the two of them are on the same page. And look, some of it also helps that he's getting a lot more ice time, which he's earning. But he's also playing with more skilled players. He's playing with Mikhail Granlund. He's playing with Ryan Johansson. He's playing with Philip Forsberg. Last year, you know, after he came back from injury, he was playing with Nick Cousins. He was playing with Eric Halla. He was playing with Kalle Järnkrok. And with all due respect to those players, they're not of the same skill level as the Granlunds and Forsbergs and Johanssons. So I do think it helps, obviously, that his line mates are better, too.
You bring up Mikhail Granlund, 4 assists last night, which was a career night in that category for him. But I've been very, very impressed with him as a puck distributor. I mean, he's only got the 2 goals on the season. We know he can score 2, but you got to like the chemistry there between those two and how Granlund's been playing.
Yeah, for sure. And last night in overtime, he was looking to get off the ice, it seemed. He was holding the puck, you know, at center ice, thinking about going for a change. And then he just said, screw it, I'm going for it. And he and Matthew Shane, you know, hooked up on the game-winning goal. Yeah, he's been great. And look, we talked about Mikhail Granlund a lot since John Hines became coach. You know, he is John Hines' most trusted forward. I mean, if you were to take, you know, the game log for Mikhail Granlund from John Hines' first game as coach to now, you know, I imagine he's probably the top point producer. He's certainly at the top in terms of ice time per game. You know, John Hines, you know, trusts Mikhail Granlund without question. And when he plays like that, you can see why. And what makes Granlund, you know, such a good player is that sort of what I was talking about with Duchene when things aren't going in as much as they are. He does other things. You know, he's very responsible defensively. He forechecks hard. You know, when the Predators re-signed Granlund, you know, it was certainly a head-scratcher to some people. But it made all the sense from a team standpoint to have him back. And, you know, I really think he's playing well.
That's another sort of crossroads that they came to last year. Remember, there were a lot of people saying, boy, you should get something for Granlund. You're going to lose him. You can even wind it back to the year before. It looked like he was gone. He was gone for months. And then they brought him back last minute. Can you imagine all these forks in the road where he ends up coming back? John Hines is the guy standing on the table saying, thank goodness that we got him back. Because, like you said, Adam, I think that's the right term. He's the most trusted forward. To me, the word I use a lot, he's the glue. Right? He's the guy that does everything. He's in every single situation. So I'm glad he's getting rewarded with points, because you don't get anybody's attention for these little things unless you're getting some points. And so that's what's really nice to see. And it's not a coincidence that Duchesne's playing so well with playing alongside of Granlund. Those two play well together.
Yes, and I just remember, you know, the day of free agency, you know, as we were, you know, getting closer to the opening of the market, you know, I had heard that Granlund was walking, and then less than 30 minutes later, he had resigned. You know, I don't think
you were wrong. Yeah. I think it looked like he was gone, and I think there were some rallying from within saying, I think both sides need to reconsider here. This is a good match. Let's get this guy back.
Right. He was very, very close to going to market. And the Predators and Granlund and his representation were able to compromise on something at the 11th hour, you know, before the market officially opened. So, you know, that's what I've been saying for the last couple of years. I mean, just think about the role that Granlund has had under John Hines. I mean, it's night and day. I mean, under Peter Laviolette, Mikhail Granlund was an afterthought. And, you know, that trade for Kevin Fiala, you know, seemed like a big mistake. And certainly, you know, Fiala's having a great career with the Wild, but I feel like Granlund is the type of player that this team needs in terms of the identity that they're trying to portray.
Adam, if you look at their games so far, if the Predators score three or more goals, typically they're winning the game. Now, there's a couple of exceptions. Obviously, the opener against Seattle and the Winnipeg game. But for the most part, if they get three or above, they are winning this game. And they've done this a lot lately without Philip Forsberg, who is on paper supposed to be, you know, their biggest weapon when it comes to offense. So what kind of pressure do you think that puts on Forsberg for when he is healthy and does come back to help them keep this up?
Yeah, I mean, look. The players that need to be producing are producing. Matt Duchesne is producing. Roman Josi is producing. Ryan Johansson is producing. Mikhail Granlund is producing. Juuse Saros is playing very well. You know, there are other players who are off to slower starts. I think you're starting to see Luke Cunnan get into a rhythm after a slow start. You know, Elie Tolvanen is off to a slow start. You know, Philip Tomasino has played solid for a rookie. But if they can get those depth players, you know, to follow that lead, you know, things are going to look up. But in terms of Philip Forsberg, you know, to me, and I had this conversation with Robbie and Joe the other day, you know, it's a really interesting case with Philip Forsberg, because we absolutely know that he is a highly skilled player. And, you know, these injuries that he's been suffering over the past couple of years have been really unfortunate. Like, he didn't plan to run into Roman Josi, you know, in Calgary. It was a mistake, but
yeah,
it took him out of the game. And yeah, and we don't know when he'll be back. And, you know, for Forsberg, the timing probably couldn't be any worse when you consider that he's in a contract year and he made a decision to bet on himself in the contract year. It wasn't like Matthias Ekholm, who basically set a deadline saying, I want to be re-signed by the start of the season, and we're going to table conversations until the end. So, you know, I'm really interested to see how, you know, these negotiations go. You know, I reported last weekend that they haven't started in earnest, and my colleague Pierre LeBrun reported the same thing today, but said that I think they're, you know, perhaps the wheels are starting to be put in motion. I think the most interesting thing is it's really hard to pin down a value for Philip Forsberg. Like, with Matthias Ekholm, for example, there were two contracts that I always felt like were the best comparables for Matthias Ekholm, and that was Jake Muzzin and Jeff Petrie. And he got the Petrie contract, which was 4 years, $25 million. to me, there is no obvious comparable for Philip Forsberg. And, you know, how he comes back and how he plays is going to play a huge role in this. But, you know, I feel like, you know, the Predators, you know, what they decide to do with Philip Forsberg is going to move this franchise in one, or is going to, in vastly different directions. You know, so when he gets back, that's something I'm going to be keeping an eye on.
Adam, one last thing for you. And I think this is a big underlying theme in the, again, the identity that John Hines has built now with the, you know, a bigger, younger team, you know, with more sandpaper, more grit. It's the team that Milwaukee had a couple years ago when they didn't get a chance to play in the playoffs, but they dominated the AHL. But you look at the guys that are playing now for the Predators that were on that team, Trennan, Olivier, Jeannot, Novak, Carrier. There's like eight or nine of them when you really count them up. And for the most part, none of those guys were on big prospect lists, right? Corey Pronman, your colleague for The Athletic, does these prospect lists. You wouldn't have seen any of these guys on those lists. But that,
no.
That group collectively has gotten better. They won big together. I think they have a chip on their shoulder. It's kind of like nobody thinks we're any good. But they are providing a lot of energy. I think it's contagious. I think you asked reasons why Johansson and Duchesne are playing better. I think they've been influenced by this, you know, infusion of youth and mentality that those guys have. I think it's really tangible. I'm wondering if you're picking up on the same thing.
Yeah, and I think we could all pick up on it in the second half of last season. You know, there were a lot of injuries to key players, and that, you know, led to the rise of Tanner Jeannot and Alex Carrier and Jeremy Davies and Ellie Tolvanen and other players. And you make a good point. I mean, that Milwaukee team in 2019-20, you know, was a fantastic team. And, you know, certainly, you know, the fact that they weren't able to win a Calder Cup or, you know, was certainly left a bad taste in their mouth. I know it, you know, it bummed the heck out of Carl Taylor. And then, of course, Milwaukee didn't play last season. So that, you know, that taste lingers in your mouth a little bit more. But I think you saw it last year. I mean, I remember talking, you know, to Matthias Ekholm and Nick Cousins, among others, you know, entering the playoffs just about the second half turnaround, and both of them mentioned it was the young players. I mean, they came, like, the Predators for the longest time had been a veteran-laden team. You know, whenever they would do the list, the NHL would do the list of the, you know, the average age of the opening night rosters, the Predators would be, like, the oldest team in the league year after year after year. But then the roster gets turned over, and now they're one of the younger teams in the league. And I think you're right, Willie. I do think that those young players, I mean, I mean, UC Saros, of course, played a significant role in getting the team to the playoffs last year. But right after him was just all of the young guys and then the enthusiasm that they infused into the roster, you know, and it certainly caught the attention of the veteran players who felt like they had to keep up with the youngsters. So I think you're seeing a continuation of what you saw in the second half of the regular season through the first month of this season.
Yeah, and more responsibility for those guys with the guys like Eric Halla and Cali Yarncroke and Victor Arvidsson gone, right? There's more responsibility.
And Ryan Ellis. Yeah.
Ryan Ellis for sure. So they have an even bigger influence, and I think so far it's been positive. Adam, excellent stuff. I hope a lot of people read the article on Tanner Jeannot. He's really the focal point of a lot of this theme that we're talking about. He's so fun to watch. And so I think they'll enjoy it even more when they read the backstory. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Go Saints.
Okay. Adam making friends, as he always does.
G-E-A-U-X. Go Saints.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic. All right.
Adam Vingan, baby.
Time for you to talk.
It is
a
time.
Little bit of MGM.
Yeah, the BetMGM. BetMGM. BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, well, they welcome you with a special offer on the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game, and if either team hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets regardless of your bet's outcome. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME200 when you make your first bet. Enjoy NBA action like never before with BetMGM's live betting options, boosted odds specials, and daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use that code 1025GAME200 to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Tennessee only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.